Just want to turn for a short time this evening to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. Matthew 1 verse 20. It's really part of the Christmas story. And it says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Amen, and God will bless the reading of his word. Many years ago, a Christian missionary was in the land of India. He ran into a Hindu man. And after talking to him about the gospel, the Hindu man said, "There are many things which Christianity and Hinduism have in common. But there is one thing in your religion that you have that we don't have." And the Christian missionary looked at him and he said, "Well, what is that?" And the Hindu man said, "Well, Hinduism doesn't have a savior, doesn't have a person who can save you from your sins." Now, this Christmas season, we are thinking about giving. And I hope you will receive many gifts over the Christmas period. But the greatest gift wasn't given from a shop, wasn't given by a parent to a child or a son to a father or mother. But the greatest gift came from God to you and to me. And it was the gift of a Savior, one who would come to take away your sins. You see, the greatest need of mankind is to have the forgiveness of sins. And the angel, when he came to Joseph that night, he said to Joseph, "There's a child coming. That child will have a very special purpose. That child," he said, "will come to take away sins." There was a very foolish preacher one time, a liberal preacher. He didn't like the statement that Jesus came to die for sinners. He told his congregation that Jesus only came to be a good example. After he had finished speaking, he felt very proud of himself for his clever address, an old man from the congregation approached him. And he said, "I was reading 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." He did no sin. He was sinless. And he looked at that preacher. And he said, "I have a question for you. If Jesus came to be our example, and Jesus did no sin, can you follow his example?" Preacher went red in the face and turned away because he knew he was a sinner. He knew he couldn't follow the example of Christ. He couldn't imitate the example of Christ because he was a sinner by nature and by practice. And Jesus, when he came into this world, he came as the Savior of the world. Oh yes, as I said this morning, he was a great example. He was a great Bible teacher, the greatest. He could say things that nobody else could say. And he could say it with such authority that the people marveled and they said, never man spake like this man. He had such power. He had such authority. He was filled with the power of God and the Spirit of God. But you know, Jesus came to be God's gift for you and for me. If you turn to Luke's Gospel, and we read it a little bit earlier, Luke's Gospel, I believe, is chapter 2 in the reading of the shepherds. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, we're told in verse 8, there were shepherds in the field the night that Jesus was born. And the angel spoke to these shepherds, and he had a very special message for them. In verse 10, he says, fear not. No doubt they were terrified, just meeting this great company in pitch dark. Suddenly an explosion of angels and angelic light. And they began to sing, and the shepherds were terrified. And the angel said to them, listen, fear not, don't be afraid. He says, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Well, what I'm about to tell you, the angel says, is for you and for the world. Now, here's the message. What's the message? Verse 11. For unto you, underline the pronoun, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know, there are a lot of people in Larne, and they like to go to Christmas events. They like to go to Christmas concerts. And if the primary school has or the kindergarten has one, they're there. Even if the churches have carol services and Christmas events, they're there. And in many ways, they're very sentimental about it. And they like the story. And they like the drama. And they like the nativity scene, and they like the mince pies, and they like all the glitter and the greenery that's associated with Christmas, and the lights. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing sinful in that. But if that's all Christmas means to you, you've missed the meaning of Christmas. You've missed the reason for the season. Because these shepherds picked up the message that this is something very personal, the birth of Jesus Christ. Yes, he came, in a sense, to be a blessing to the whole world. But in particular, he came to be a blessing to you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, why do you need a Savior? Because of the problem of sin. You need someone to save you from your sins. You can't do it yourself. Jesus didn't come and say, I'm going to set a great example of perfection, and you go and walk in my example. Because we couldn't. We feel from the moment we're born, the moment we have our first conscious thought and action, we fail. So Jesus came into this world not just simply to be an example. He came as the Savior of the world. He came as your Savior and my Savior. And you can never go to heaven. Never. I don't care what anybody else tells you, lies to you and deceives you, that there's another way to heaven. You can never go to heaven unless you come through the salvation that's found in this Savior and Him alone. You know how He put it this way? He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man, doesn't matter how big you are, how strong you are, how educated you are, how self-righteous you are, how religious you are, no man, He says, comes unto the Father but by me. St. Peter, to give him his saintly title. And there's a lot of people in Larne, and they believe that Peter was the first pope. That Peter was a man who was very, very special. A man that could take your sins away. Well, I'd wish that they would listen to what Peter said. In Acts chapter 5, I believe, which he says, neither is there salvation in any other. That's what Peter said. Listen to him. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved, he says. So Peter said, don't come to the church. Don't come to me, even Peter says. I can't help you. I'm a sinful man. I betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times at his crucifixion. I ran away with all the other cowards. Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other. No other person. No other way. And this Christmas, of all Christmases, I want you to personally think about God's gift to you. If you look under your Christmas tree, and we have one in our house, you'll see gifts wrapped up. I don't think there's any for me, or some for my kids. Maybe that can be rectified between now and Sunday. But there's a number of gifts, and they're wrapped up. Children in particular get excited, don't they, when they see the gifts? And the child in us is excited when we receive a gift. Well, here's the good news. 2,000 years ago, although your tree may be empty tonight, 2,000 years ago, God sent the greatest gift to you, wrapped not in tinsel or Christmas paper, but wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. And He sent Jesus Christ as God's perfect, sinless gift for you and for me, as your Savior, as your substitute, to take your punishment for sin. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. And then he used the words, it is what? The gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, this Christmas, you'll get gifts given to you, I'm sure. And when someone gives you a gift, you don't say, how much do I have to pay for the gift? You don't take out your credit card and say, do I need to scan this? You don't take out some notes and say, how much do I owe you for this? No, because if that was the transaction that was needed and required, that wouldn't be a gift, would it? That would be a purchase. That would be a business deal. You would be the customer. But that's not salvation. Salvation is where you come with nothing in your hand. You can't buy it. You can't pay anything. There's nothing that you can give God to impress God. What are you going to give him? Money? He owns everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the universe and everything that's in it, the Bible says. You can't give him anything. He said, what about my good works? He says, I don't recognize them as good. They're tainted by your sinful nature. In fact, he says they are like filthy rags in my sight. So this Christmas, God presents to you his gift of Jesus Christ, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in the manger. And he says, if you want to go to heaven, you need to come and humble yourself before the babe and cry unto him for mercy and for salvation. You know, people strive in this world to know a lot of things. But you know, there's only two things really worth knowing. Number one, you're a sinner. And number two, Jesus is the great Savior. That's the two most important things to know. Our greatest need this Christmas is not more gifts, but to receive the greatest gift and honor the greatest gift of our lives. I used to work in London many years ago, and there was a cemetery there called Bunhill Fields. It's just across the road from Wesley's Chapel, where John Wesley preached and, when he passed on, was buried. And next door to the chapel, there's a little house you can go to. It's now converted into a museum, where John Wesley spent his last days. And Wesley, when he was dying, he was an old man. All his friends and his family gathered around him. They wanted to hear, what's John going to say before he dies? What's his last words? The end is near. As they gathered round John Wesley, he said this, the best of all, is God is with us. And he closed his eyes and he went out into God's eternity. We read the verse, didn't we? Emmanuel. Why is he called Emmanuel? It means what? God with us. Jesus came, Emmanuel, to be God with us 2,000 years ago. That's the good news, that the gift is here and the gift is available freely for you and me to receive this evening. My Bible that I use is one that has large letters on it. Picked it up in a shop one time. And at the front of the Bible it says, the Schofield Study Bible. And it's edited by a man called the Reverend C.I. Schofield, D.D. C.I. Schofield was a lawyer before he was a preacher. C.I. Schofield was a very famous lawyer in St. Louis in the United States. One day a Christian man who was employing Schofield as his lawyer, they'd finished their business. And the man greatly admired C.I. Schofield because of his great intellect and his great gifts as a lawyer. And he said to Mr. Schofield, he said, can I ask you a question? I've never asked you this before. He says, I've always wondered, why you're not a Christian. Why you're not saved. And Schofield hung his head in shame And he looked at this man and he said, I know enough about the Bible to know that no drunkard can enter the kingdom of God. And that's my greatest sin and my greatest weakness. And the man looked at him. He says, you're avoiding the question. He says, why are you not saved? Why are you not right with God? And Scofield says, truthfully, I suppose the real reason is no one has ever asked me that question. The man looked at him, he said, Mr. Scofield, the Bible says that Jesus came into this world. He died on the cross for sin. He rose again from the dead. He's coming again. And those who will come to him in humility and cry unto him for forgiveness, confess from your mouth and believe in your heart, then you shall be saved. He said, if you do that, Jesus will save you. And he'll save you now. And old Mr. Scofield bowed the knee and trusted the Savior and became a Christian that night. And he went on to be a preacher and a commentator of the Word of God. You know what he said as he became a Christian? He says, oh God, I was reading this today. I am a slave to drink. But one of your servants you've sent here today to show me how to be saved. And he says, forgive me my sin and give me the power to deal with this vice, this sin in my life, and overcome this terrible habit. And you know what happened to C.I. Scofield? The moment he prayed, the instant he cried to the Savior, the next moment he was forgiven, washed in the blood, cleansed from all his sins. Many years ago, John Wesley's brother Charles had just become a Christian. He was walking the streets of London. As he was going around London on Christmas Day, he heard the bells ringing, ding dong, ding dong. And he suddenly thought of the Christmas story and what Jesus Christ had done on the cross for him. And he thought about the angels and what they sung that night, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. He went to his house. He got a pen and a piece of paper. And he wrote these words. Hark the herald, angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners now reconciled. What beautiful words. Said that those are the most famous Christmas carol words. And this Christmas season, they're going to be sung in every corner of this earth, in many different languages, with people from all kinds of backgrounds. Different cultures, different languages, different races, different social status and backgrounds, but they're all saved by the same Savior. And you too can be saved the same way tonight. You too can receive the greatest gift of all this Christmas, the gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to go to hell tonight, what must you do? Just keep on living the way you're living. You'll get there. Sooner or later, you'll be there. But if you want to get to heaven tonight, if you want to go to heaven tonight, you have to come to the Savior. You have to receive the gift personally, in your heart and in your life. Do you remember the story I told at the beginning? The Hindu man in India speaking to the Christian missionary. And he said, there's only one thing of significance that's different between your religion and my religion. And it's this that I've noticed. Your religion has a Savior. And my religion doesn't. Well, he was right, wasn't he? He was absolutely right. There's only one Savior. There's only one way of salvation. And Jesus put it so bluntly when he said, except a man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. Are you born again? Have you received God's greatest gift this Christmas season? Don't leave 2023 and go into 2024 unsaved. Satan has had too much of your life already. You've wasted too much in the world already. End this year, because there may not be another year. You may not have another year on this earth. End this year by receiving God's greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help you to come. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we have heard in song, in word, and through the proclamation of the gospel that there is a Savior who really saves, that there is one who can really wash every sin away, every stain away. There is one who can break the power of sin in the life of every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you that it is true. And we can say, I know it's true because it has changed my life. It's changed my home. It's changed my neighborhood since Jesus came into my heart. Lord, we pray for any in our meeting tonight who as yet are still holding out, resisting the grace of God. May you have mercy upon them. And like Lydia of old, open their heart and let them taste and see that the Lord is good. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.